This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Steelers getting mostly really good marks for the draft. I think Pete Prisco from CBS may have given them a lower one. Somebody else I saw, I can't remember who, gave them a B minus. But mostly it was in the A minus, B plus range limits. Is that what you've seen?
Yes, and we actually efforted for Pete Prisco last week. And he was
Belfont Snorkel?
Yeah, he was very busy. I was told that he did not have time in his schedule, so hopefully we can try to get him again to explain.
Wait a second. Did he tell you that or somebody else?
No, somebody else.
Pete Prisco has handlers now?
Yes, he works at CBS Sports.
So you have to go through somebody to get to Pete Prisco?
Well, I mean, I don't have Pete's official number. If I did, I would just reach out to him, but I reached out to a contact first.
And they said he's very busy.
They asked him, and Pete was not available for the time.
No, we're all busy limits. You should have texted them back and said, we're all busy. Can we talk to the guy for 10 minutes?
I tried.
I'm sorry. I'm feeling
no,
better
I
today.
Did my best.
I'm still reeling from the Ryan Wilson snorkels.
Yeah. I just think that he maybe doesn't appreciate you as much as Pony and Mueller.
Clearly, since he goes on their show all the time.
Every week.
And is delayed in getting back to me. And well, he doesn't get back to me. Forget about delayed.
He goes on Tuesdays with them. How much do you want to bet that Ryan Wilson will be on today with the PM team?
Probably will.
Very high chance.
Let's rip him tomorrow, shall we? Let's
maybe.
Go to Brian Batko right now. He's not going to give us the Belfont snorkel. He's always available. From the Post Gazette, you read his stuff at postgazette.com. Brian, how did you grade out the Steeler draft? What was your favorite pick? What was your least favorite pick? Those kinds of things.
First of all, I really liked hearing how the sausage was made there from City Limits. I mean, he's going through people. Sometimes he goes direct. His booking process was
right.
Pretty intriguing there. With me, he always books direct, but maybe I should start sending him to my team.
I mean, Pete Prisco is a hack like the rest of us. He has people that you have to go through to get to him. What are we doing
should
here?
Should I ask Ray Fittipaldo if I could talk to Brian next time?
You're going to have to ask Ray's agent first, apparently.
Oh, yes.
Pete Prisco? My God, Brian, what has the world come to?
I don't want to fire any strays at Pete Prisco, but I'll just tell you, I mean, I go through these things a lot myself with my Tuesday podcast for the Post Gazette. Trying to book guests, national people. This week I've got Cassidy Wood from KDK on, so kept it local to talk draft. But yes, we both agreed that it was a good draft. I mean, it was a foundational draft, I think. If this was a steak and potatoes draft, maybe next year gets your sizzle if you're going with a quarterback, potentially a receiver in the second round. And it's usually pretty, I don't want to say easy, but I think right when a draft wraps up, you have a pretty good idea of what the team's going to need next year, which I can say because I look back at one of my chats from right after the draft last year, and I said I would have bet money on it being a defensive lineman in 2025.
Well, we had Charlie Campbell on from Walter Football, a draft guru type, and I wanted to ask him about next year's draft. And he couldn't really say, couldn't guarantee in any way that it's going to be that much better than this year's draft for quarterbacks. And then we got into Drew Aller. and what we think of him. Oh, there's Brian on the on our YouTube channel. Look at that, Limits. He looks wonderful, doesn't he?
He is there, yes.
You can check out the show on our YouTube channel. Go through 93.7thefan.com. People are watching left and right these days. I mean, the numbers are skyrocketing.
What a great shirt that Brian has on, too, today.
What is it? What do you got, Brian? I can't see
it. NFL Blitz, Joe.
Oh, I like that a lot. You like Peter Schrager on ESPN from NFL Network? You like the move he made there?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. You know what's funny to me, Joe, about you? You mentioned Walter from Charlie Football, Charlie from Walter Football,
Walter
whatever it
from
was,
Charlie Football.
Talking about next year's draft.
Yeah.
How big is the mock draft, or I guess just NFL draft industrial complex going to get? Like 20 years from now, the moment that that year's draft wraps up, are the talking heads going to be on TV doing a mock draft for next year's draft?
Sure.
I mean, we're already trending in that direction, I think.
I think we are too. And I meant to ask you when you came on today, I forgot. I was concerned at one point that Mel Kiper was going to be taken out in a straitjacket muttering to himself. I think he finally snapped, and I get it. Like the guy I think of is Phil Steele, who puts out a biblical-sized college football magazine every year. He does all the writing, and he researches every college football team, like 300 of them, and I don't know how he keeps his sanity. Mel Kiper has spent his entire adult life like researching and knowing everything there is to know about potential draft picks, and I think he finally snapped, Brian, the other day. You?
Yeah, he's like the football version of Joe Lunardi, who just goes into his bunker for, what, 9-10 months before they dust him off for bracketology, gets his joints greased up again, and gets ready to be on TV
like the Tin Man.
Every 20
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, he's like the Tin Man.
Yeah, yeah, he seems more well-adjusted, though. I'll be honest, Joe, I didn't watch really a second of ESPN draft coverage. I caught some clips of the Kiper-Sanders thing on radio driving here and there, just people playing snippets of it. That's one of the benefits of being at the Steelers facility is we're all kind of talking amongst ourselves, and I think they had the NFL Network on there. I don't get it. By all accounts, he was being just completely outlandish about it the whole weekend. I get that. I know how you are, Joe. Have a take on the radio. Come with an opinion. That's good for business. But you're right. It did seem like he snapped, and it's Mel Kiper we're talking about. Does he feel like he's being passed by other draft nicks, and he was the OG who started it, and he's trying to just fly off the handle to stay relevant? It's not like he's some up-and-comer trying to make a name for himself. It's Mel Kiper Jr. I don't really get it. I don't want to get into the psyche of a man who loves pumpkin pie as much as he does, but it was bizarre.
I do want to get into the psyche of Mel Kiper because it wasn't just that he was defending his opinion. And part of it made for great TV. He has every right to say, I've got Shador as my number one guy, and you're all out of your minds for not taking him.
He didn't, though, right? He had him as number five, I think.
I think as his number one quarterback, though, is what I meant.
Okay, I got you.
And great, rip teams. Tell them they're crazy, you know? But he seemed to be getting emotional over it. And that was, did you sense that, Limits?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the NFL Network.
I'm not talking angry emotional. I'm talking like sad or something.
Yes.
And I felt like I wanted to dial up somebody to go tend to him, Brian, at one point.
That's where the theatrical component of the job comes into play. And don't get me wrong, that has made millionaires many times over out of people like Stephen A. Smith and Skip Bayless. And, you know, obviously a lot of people like that. And I'm not saying Mel Kiper is veering into that territory, but from what I'm hearing from people, yes, he was apoplectic about it the whole weekend and just saying silly things and acting like he's never gotten a pick wrong himself. I know a lot of people have been digging up his freezing cold takes over the years.
Well,
so him,
of course, I mean, that's his
lambasting
line of work.
Yeah. Well, him lambasting teams for being so bad at evaluating quarterbacks that I don't think he has this portfolio proving that he's been so much better at
right.
it. Granted, he shouldn't be. He's in the media. They're the ones whose livelihoods are tied to guys working out. But I guess it just rubs me the wrong way a little bit that it sidetracked the draft. And you know, it's one thing for Shador to be this big sideshow looming over all of it. But when it's somebody in the media who's really making it that much, I guess making themselves the story, that's a little bizarre.
He said that he would retire if Jimmy Clausen wasn't a successful NFL quarterback 15 years ago.
And a lot of people are sorry he didn't. I have enjoyed him for the most part. He's a character.
Yeah.
But I felt like I got a sad glimpse of his future. And part of it was I see him, you know, sitting on a park bench muttering to himself about the 40 times of some obscure guard from Idaho State for the rest of his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've never been anti-Mel Kiper, and some people are. Some people use the argument of, oh, well, he never played, he never coached or scouted in the league. Why should we take his opinions here? So, well, because he put the work in. I think a lot of people who've been in the league for decades would say Mel Kiper did put in the work. He didn't just talk out of his butt and come up with hot takes and opinions. He talked to sources in the league. He watched. Back then, it actually was film. We always talk about watching tape of these guys. When he started, he was actually watching VHS tape, I imagine.
Right.
So I've never been an anti-Mel Kiper guy. I think that's very narrow-minded to think that
is he crumbling?
Who hasn't worked
league. Is this going to have an Antonio Brown-like ending? Is Mel going to show up for next year's draft with shirtless or something, or walk off the set? We may be headed in that direction.
Frozen feet.
He'll go into a cyber therapy chamber.
Cryotherapy. Yes. Cyber therapy chamber.
ESPN should hire him. They should have him be like trailing Shador wherever he goes. Like if he gets traded out of Cleveland,
right?
He should be like Brian Windhorst was for LeBron,
exactly,
throughout his career. I mean, he can just be like the Shador analyst and just tail him everywhere.
That would be tremendous. We mentioned the Tin Man, Brian, and we're talking to Brian Batko of the Post Gazette. I happen to watch the Judy Garland movie. Is it Renee Zellweger? Is that her name? Limits? Brian? Anybody?
Know. Yes.
She won
correct.
Awards, or it was at least nominated for her portrayal of Judy Garland in the last year of Judy Garland's life. And it was a very, very sad tale of how fame and fortune can often not be what it's cracked up to be. Did you see the movie? And do you agree with that sentiment?
Well, I can't really relate to that sentiment because I'm neither famous nor do I have a fortune, but I'd like to find out if I could keep my head on straight mentally. Were you watching that last night, Joe?
Two nights ago with my wife. I thought she was great in the movie, but it was just so sad from childhood on, the Judy Garland story. Here's one of the most famous women in the history of our country, and it was one, you know, tragic incident after another.
Well, I caught the beginning of the show today while I was driving home from somewhere, and I heard City Limits saying he was tearing up at a TV show he watched.
NCIS.
And I thought it was going to be
Origins.
I thought it was going to be, "Hey, rookie, welcome to the NFL, Will Howard," when he got the draft call from the Steelers, and he was sobbing with his family around him, and then they all went and jumped in the pool, which I'm assuming they were in Downing. Yeah, they were in Downingtown, PA. They showed that at the beginning of the broadcast. ESPN does still do some very good productions, I would like to point out, while we've been ripping Mel Kiper for a while here.
Yeah.
It was not very warm in this state on Saturday, and yet the Howard family goes into the pool full clothes. It looked like a very nice laid-out setup, and I'm sure that pool has been heated. They jumped in with no reservations. No one looked uncomfortable.
Tremendous.
There was no shock when they got in there. The Howard family's got a nice little estate, which I found this out when they drafted him. His mom, and I guess dad, but mainly his mom, I think, spearheaded the invention of the Merlin sleep suit for babies. Did you know that, Joe?
What?
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is like when the Penguins got crankshaft. Yeah, Douglas Murray came in here and turned out he had invented the beer tap for kegs. Anyway, no, I didn't hear
that. Or when Alex Highsmith, when he was drafted, we all found out he was an extra in Dawson's Creek as a baby. He was in that show.
Limits cried at that show. Limits is a very emotional man. He cried at the NCIS thing. He cried when he saw Draft Day with Kevin Costner. He was weeping at the end of that movie.
No, I didn't cry, but it's a very good movie. I watch it every year during Draft Day, yeah, leading up to the draft.
Brian, what do you think of that movie? I think it's the most overrated piece of trash I've ever seen. And the fact that somebody sat in a room and said, yeah, let's take this idea to Hollywood, a Cleveland Browns Draft Day. Are you kidding me? Maybe this one would have been a good movie, but not whatever one they portrayed.
They're going to make a sequel.
Yeah,
they're going to need to make a sequel now based on real life, Joe. I mean, the drama unfolding with them throughout the weekend, and I guess like Deontay Johnson would be a post-credits scene signing to go there, and when he and Kenny Pickett see each other in the halls for the first time in Berea, Ohio, I would love to be a fly.
That could be the opening. Yeah, that could be the opening scene. As we speak, Deontay's driving backwards to Cleveland. lastly, Brian, Limits, did you have a question for Brian? Why are you waving frantically in there?
I wasn't waving at
it
all.
It looked to me, as I looked to my left, you were waving.
No.
What do you have?
I didn't have anything, but I could come up with something for Brian.
Do you want to talk more about the Merlin sleep suit Howard's
parents invented? Yeah, tell me about that.
Could
what
I
is
ask
it?
Brian
what
a question the about suit? The draft?
No, I want to know about the sleep suit now. What is it?
I mean, as someone who has kids 5 and almost 3, we use them on both of our children. I'm pretty sure it's kind of like a transition from the swaddle to like a sleep sack or something to help your baby sleep. But it's goofy looking. It's like a big puffed up. It looks like it's a space suit almost for babies. Maybe your grandchild will get a crack at it, and you'll be thinking of Will Howard when you see them.
Well, I tried one of those things, one of those, it's like a reverse backpack. I think it's called a Bjorn, where your baby is on your chest strapped into a thing, and it didn't work. I felt like she kept sinking, and it felt like she wasn't breathing. I didn't like that thing.
I was always nervous to put those on myself because, like you kind of said, Joe, I was just convinced that I was going to miss a buckle or a clip or a strap, and my son or daughter was just going to fall out the bottom, and I would be mortified for the rest of my life. So now, I usually let my wife handle those baby carriers, or she would have to fasten it around me. I wasn't going to try to attempt that myself.
I mean, the funny thing is I carry Limits into work each day, and that works just fine when he's my baby Bjorn.
In a duffel bag.
I'm one of those like teacup chihuahuas I fit in the back. You can just carry me on the plane with you.
He rolls you in a stroller. City Limits, do you have a question about the draft? I feel like we cut you off.
I do. And Joe,
anything?
The beat writer.
You want to talk Dante Kent?
Dante Kent. So they announced him as a punt returner too. Is he going to take Calvin Austin's job?
Brian?
I don't know. I would hope not. Calvin Austin's a really good punt returner, but the only way I think he would is if the Steelers deem Austin too integral to their passing game that they don't want to use him in that role. So no, I think that's more of just another hat Dante Kent can wear. His avenue would be to compete as a slot corner and maybe be a little stickier in coverage than Beanie Bishop or Brandon Echols can be.
Let's talk about Jack Sawyer and how the internet just lit up and how he seems to be, almost Jack Lambert, at least from demeanor, almost Jack Lambert. Like, people just love this pick. Brian, did you love it?
I was initially a little skeptical because when you get to the fourth round, I'm kind of thinking what holes or potential roster holes have you not filled yet? I thought they could have used a versatile defensive back, even more versatile than Dante Kent. At some point, somebody with some safety capability or even another lineman to throw in the mix, offensive lineman. I know they've invested so much over the last couple drafts, but can you ever have enough who are capable of playing tackle, guard, and just let them compete? We also, I mean, keep in mind, I don't want to rain on any parades here after the draft, but we have no idea how the Broderick Jones, Troy Fautanu pairing is going to fare at the NFL level.
Right.
So I was keeping that in mind, but best player available route, Jack Sawyer makes sense. I don't think a lot of people expected him to be there in the fourth round. So clearly the Steelers couldn't pass up on him. And he's an OKG and our kind of guy. And yeah, if you watch the clip of him, it's probably the lowest moment of his college career when Michigan beat them in Columbus in that regular season finale, then he had some very choice words for the Wolverines as they attempted the flag planting.
Yes.
He wouldn't be able to play the audio on
that
the air.
That was his body slamming of Cliff Harris moment. That was his Lambert in college moment. I just think his demeanor is what people like. But also, he was a really productive run stopper for sure. And I think he could help there. Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the time right now is 12:33, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. The other pick I wanted to ask you about was Caleb Johnson. What do you make of him, and how do you think the running back situation works out here, Brian?
I think when you factor in the player, the type of player, the value where they got him in the draft and the positional need, that might have been my favorite pick for the Steelers, because I didn't think there was any chance he was going to be there with their second pick. I thought guys like him, Travion Henderson, if they were going to snag those running backs or Quinshon Judkins, that they'd have to trade back into the second round. And for Judkins and Henderson, that was true. But for Johnson, he slipped below those Ohio State guys, obviously. And I think he's pretty much an ideal complement to what they've already got. I know there were some good, smaller, quicker, shiftier, fast running backs in this class. But if you're not paying Jalen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell to be that, then what's the point of having them here? You need a bigger body, run with some power, pick up a yard or two. That hasn't always been Jalen Warren's strong suit. So, yeah, I think the Caleb Johnson pick is really good. And I actually think the one knock that some people would have on him, the 4.57 40 time, you know, you can't be that slow if you're breaking off 70 to 75 yard runs in the Big Ten. You just can't, even if it is against Purdue.
Limits, would you like to finish off, Brian, with a question, or haven't you thought of one yet?
No, I have. So, Brian, we now know that with Robert Woods in the fold, the wide receiver room is looking like Metcalf, Pickens, Calvin Austin, maybe Woods is their fifth, is their fourth guy. Are they just basically, in signing Robert Woods and not trading Pickens, telling us that they don't think much of Roman Wilson?
I don't look at it that way. I mean, that's possible. We don't really know what they think. We don't know what to think of Roman Wilson. Nobody really does. How can you? But I think it's more of insurance in case a Pickens trade still comes along. I mean, I just don't think it's outlandish to suggest that he's going to do exactly what the previous Steelers wide receiver in this position did in Deontay Johnson, and that was not want to be there in the spring, hold in for training camp. The big difference, though, is Deontay Johnson didn't have a 6'4", 230-pound, all-pro type of receiver sitting above him on the depth chart. So I still don't know where it goes with George, with Woods. You know, if all things remain the same, I'm not even sure if Robert Woods is going to make the team. As soon as I hang up with you guys, I'm going to ponder that a little bit more for my post-draft roster projection in the Post-Gazette.
Please ponder that. Did you get back to Charlie Campbell to ask him if he thought Arch Manning was going to be in the draft next year? And if he does, why he didn't have him as his one prospect?
I will have an answer for you shortly.
Okay, Brian, I'll leave you with this very quickly. Arch Manning, Lenoris Sellers, Drew Aller, Garrett Nussmeier, Fernando Mendoza of Indiana, right now are Dane Brugler's top five quarterbacks for next year. Would Arch Manning automatically be your guy? And if he's not even in the draft, then who would be your pick among those five?
No, he would not automatically be my guy. We haven't seen enough from him. And to your previous question there, I mean, it sounds like a lot of people surmise that the Manning family, they don't really like the whole microwave society of development. They're going to want him there for a year or two. But things can change, especially if there's a number one pick sitting and waiting for you after your junior year. So I need to see more from him. I really liked what I saw from Lenoris Sellers from South Carolina. Now, he's a guy who, I haven't studied next year's quarterbacks yet. I mean, but when I would watch him casually on Saturdays last year, or, you know, some of the highlights that have been floating around on social media, he is someone who I hate to like even make these comparisons, but some of his shaking off defenders, being bigger and stronger than the dudes trying to tackle him, and then pulling up and bombing one downfield it's a little Ben-like. It's a little Ben-esque in that way. So he's very intriguing to me, Sellers.
Thank you, Brian. None of them are as good as Jackson Dart. We'll talk to you next week. Why don't we do this every Tuesday? Tuesdays with Batco. Are you up for that? Or it would be awkward if
yeah,
you said no.
Yeah, I think that's the plan. And yeah, I mean, most weeks I'll have all the time in the world for you, unlike last week where I had to summarily cut you off so quickly.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome. See you.
I don't know about you, Limits, but I'm having the time of my life.
Me too.
I don't know what these little chocolate nuggets are out here in this big jar.
Yeah.
But they have almonds in them. And it's just a magical mixture going all the way back to a Hershey bar with almonds. It's I can't get enough of it. I'm addicted to it. Did I tell you I got allergic to chocolate as a kid?
No. And how did you acquire that?
I snuck into the cupboard, climbed up on the counter. I was maybe 8, reached into the cupboard and ate a 12-pack of Hershey bars.
Were they big-sized Hershey bars?
No, just normal. And then broke out in hives and then had to get shots for a year. I became allergic. And that was also my first act as a sugar addict, which I've become.
I was originally allergic to dogs.
You were?
Yeah. Like the fur of the dog would like, I would break out in hives on my face when we visit my grandmother and her dog. And when we got Muffin, it seemed like that happened for like the first week. And then I just adapted, and I've never had a problem ever since.
I got bit by a dog right on my behind when I was little by a German Shepherd.
What?
Yeah, a German Shepherd named Saber.
Bit you on your behind.
Yeah, and I was afraid of dogs my whole life.
Wait a minute. Why?
Why did he bite me, or why was I afraid?
Yeah, no, why did he bite you?
Because he was a vicious dog. He was Don Braun's dog. That was my friend whose nickname was Mammal. That's all you need to know about him.
And why did he choose that spot to bite you on?
I had to walk through Don Braun's yard to get out to Harlem Road. And then one time I got up the courage to walk near Saber, who was chained, and he lunged out and bit me. And so I didn't trust dogs or their owners for the next 4 decades. And then my wife and daughter begged for a dog. And I'm like, there's no way we're getting a dog. That's a non-starter. And then I watched the movie A Dog's Purpose,
yeah,
where it's like it's one dog who keeps dying and coming back to life as a different dog in a different family. So you don't just have the overwhelming emotional scene of one dog passing away. It happens 8 times in the movie.
That's why I can't watch it.
And by the end of it, I was an emotional wreck, and I went to them and said, you can get any dog you want. I'll go get the dog for you.
As I'm still reeling over the season finale of NCIS Origins last night, there was a dog in the show. There was like a kid playing with a dog at the very beginning of the show, and I was like, oh, they're probably doing a flashback with one of the characters.
Yeah.
And the dog started to run, and it ended up leading to a big part in the show. And I was like, oh my gosh. So dogs factoring in again.
Did you cry?
I'm still reeling. I was looking at clips during the break.
You really are.
I really
into
am
that
an
show.
Emotional sap, ain't I?
So Mike Sullivan is gone. That's it. The Mike Sullivan era finished. And for all the great, and then by the end, you know, the not so great, I think we're left with a question. And I got asked about this on my intergalactically read Post-Gazette mailbag. A man named Runnin' Ref Rick, he calls himself. With Mike Sullivan moving on, would you put him on Pittsburgh's pro coaching? See, I didn't see that. Mount Rushmore. I'm guessing that two of them are locks, Sully and the Emperor, right? Who are your other two? Tomlin, Murtaugh, Cower, Tanner, Badger Bob? What say you, Joe? Limits, I can't help but be distracted by, while I'm talking to you during a live radio show, you're talking to somebody else.
Yes, our good friend Marty Tuffer came in and asked me a quick question
that
has now been resolved.
Well, why don't you tell Marty to ask during the break? Can we do that, please? He's John Calipari's old roommate, isn't he?
He is, yes. I don't know if he would appreciate you talking to him like that.
I don't appreciate him interrupting our radio show.
That's fair enough.
What did he want?
Oh, he just had a question.
Oh, so where do you, obviously Chuck Knoll, if there is a Mount Rushmore in Pittsburgh pro sports history of coaches, Chuck Knoll's the guy.
No doubt.
There's zero question about that. And then Sully has to be up there because other than, who was it? Who was it? Fred Clark or somebody? Other than him, who else has won multiple titles? So Sully has to be up there.
I think Danny Murtaugh would be on that Mount Rushmore as well.
Why? And I'm not saying he wouldn't be, but why is he over Chuck Tanner or Mike Tomlin or Dan Bylsma or Scottie Bowman or Bill Cowher?
Well, I think championships come into a play in that, winning a championship, leading the team that he did and the success that he had with the Pirates. I mean, again, this would be what, placement number two on the Mount Rushmore? It would be Noel, Murtaugh, Sullivan for me, and then it's that fourth spot that's up for grabs between like Cowher, Tanner, Tomlin, I guess you can throw on there too.
Wait a second. Yes, you're right about that.
Yeah. Are you throwing another Penguins coach on there? Like, I don't think you're throwing Badger Bob on there.
Well, I might.
He was incredible for the short amount of time that he was here, but if you're talking Mount Rushmore, I think
longevity
factors.
Well, wait a second. No, you're right. You're right. Danny Murtaugh's two-time.
Yeah.
He's multiple.
Right.
So it's got to be Noel, Murtaugh, Sully.
Yes.
And then I think the fourth spot is open.
Yeah, completely up for grabs. Where I think Chuck Tanner has a good argument to be made. But you would have to put one of those two Steeler coaches on there, though, right?
What do you mean?
Like one of Tomlin or Cowher would have to be in that final spot. Like should...
Why? Why them over Chuck Tanner or Badger Bob?
Well, again, I think that longevity, when you're talking about a Mount Rushmore, should matter. A long career that spans a lot of successful times, not just the short period that it was winning a cup for Badger Bob, he definitely deserves consideration.
Of course, they all do. Hold on a second here. Now I made a mistake in the mailbag for the Post-Gazette because I had... I know. Here we go. The comments below are getting to me.
What are the comments?
Danny Murtaugh won too. Yes, of course he did. I've made a mistake here, Limits, and it feels bad.
What is your Mount Rushmore again?
Ron used to freak out when he made a mistake.
Oh, I freak out if I make a mistake or if I forget something sometimes. Sometimes I get like that. A lot of the times, I'm thankfully, the older I've gotten, I've been able to brush it off easier.
Yeah, but he would make a mistake and it would destroy him for the entire show. There was one with Dave Parker once, some factual thing that Ron got wrong, and he crumbled that day. I don't feel great about this Murtaugh mistake. I feel horrible, but I'm already over it. We all make mistakes, Limits.
We do. And our ability to get over it and move past it, where you can't let a 5-minute span or whatever affect you for the whole rest of the day.
That doesn't define you, does it?
It shouldn't. You shouldn't let it define you. That's the thing. You can't just be mad at yourself for that. You have to move past it.
Right. So absolutely, the Mount Rushmore has to begin with Noel, Murtaugh, and Sully. And then I think that there's a fourth. I think it's an empty space that needs to be filled in.
Okay, so I know that we rag Tomlin all the time for his, 17 years or whatever of non-losing seasons, whatever it is now. Should that be considered as a positive for this Mount Rushmore list?
Sure.
Just because of consistency?
Yeah. But for me, it's about championships. And as I've said, I think Mike Tomlin, you know, did A-plus work for 5 years. And since then, it's been C to C-plus. But he's certainly in consideration, you know, longevity. He's been to the mountaintop twice. And one time he cashed in. So certainly, yeah. Cowher went twice too, though. And he was here for 15 years.
Any consideration for Bylsma? 1-1, gone twice.
Not really. I mean, he has won, so I guess there's some. Chuck Tanner was a very improbable win, and he was great. If I had to pick somebody else right now, it might be Badger Bob, despite only being here 1 year, because he radically changed the Penguins' culture when he arrived. They had never won. He was a Chuck Knoll-like figure in that they had never won until he got here, and then they won. And tragically, of course, it was only a 1 year run. But he gets extra credit for changing a culture.
Now, talking about changing the culture for probably the best candidate that never won a championship, Jim Leland deserves some consideration with what he did with the 90, 91, 92 Pirates. Now, obviously,
he actually doesn't deserve. I love Jim Leland, and he was great. He gets no consideration for the
no consideration
Mount
Rushmore. At all. Okay,
he didn't win a championship.
Well, that's what I was getting to. The fact that they never pushed him over the top would not put him ultimately on that list. But out of the candidates that never won, I think he would have the best chance. Now, then again, all three Steeler coaches of the last 50-plus years have won Super Bowls, so it's kind of hard. There's not that many choices. There's been a lot of Pirate managers and a lot of Penguins coaches. But out of those that have not won a championship, I think Leland is probably the best of them.
Yeah, I would say so. Of those that never won a championship, now you really have me thinking.
Leland would be like sixth or seventh
absolutely.
On my Mount
Rushmore. Absolutely, and I don't, believe me, he did an incredible job here and love him. But other people have won titles.
Yeah, that's the thing. Titles put you over the top.
Of course it does. Limits. I can't think of others right now off the top of my head. Jock Sutherland, if we're including college people, won 5 national titles at Pitt. Did you know that?
That was what, during the early 1910s, 1920s?
No, the 1930s. Yeah, Ron covered their team. He was the beat writer. I once did a story on Carson Long. Was it Carson Long, the old Pitt kicker? And others refurbished the grave of Jock Sutherland over in, why can't I think of the name of the famous graveyard off Beechwood Boulevard? Somebody help me on the texting line. At 928-9370. I went up there with an older Pitt fan. He had been a Pitt fan and had worked for Pitt for a number of years. And me and him and E.J. Borghetti went up to the gravesite of Jock Sutherland because it had fallen into disrepair. And it was one of the most incredible stories that I ever did. And he was a legend. An absolute legend. 5 national championships he won. Guess what, Limits? Listen to this. You ready for a number?
Yes.
Jock Sutherland's 15-year stretch at Pitt, he was 111, 20, and 12 with 79 shutouts. Yes, Limits, 79 of his 111 wins were by shutout. How about that?
That's pretty fascinating. See that stat thrown at me coming?
Yes,
did not,
I mean,
see it coming.
Think about that. They shut out everybody they played.
That's
for God's
unreal.
Sakes. And it was unbelievable. Why can't I think of that graveyard? Oh, here it is. Homewood Cemetery in Point Breeze. That's what it is. And those guys did an amazing job refurbishing that gravesite. That was really cool. Anywho.